Welcome to a podcast from Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
And we're in the home stretch of Colossians 4, but that little video, Eat Together, is a large part of the expression of the body of Christ as we reach out into our world. And one of the things we've talked about a lot this summer is bells. That acronym, not just because it's my last name, but because it's a good summary of things. We bless others. We're to share together, eat with others, learning about God and His ways, listening to God's voice, recognizing that all of us are sent into our neighborhood, into our community, for the sake of those who don't yet know Jesus. And bells is a simple acronym, a simple summary of some great practices, some great disciplines, some habits that enable us to live out our faith in very real and very practical ways. And that's always what it's all about, isn't it? It's living it out. It's not just storing a bunch of information up in our head, but how do we live out this thing we call faith? So last Sunday, we looked at verse 2 of Colossians 4. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to being watchful. Devote yourself to being thankful. So the question is, did you do that this week? Did you pray this week? More than thank God for this grub. You know, did you pray? Did you acknowledge Him? Did you bring those situations, those things that you faced, did you bring it before Him? Were you watching for God? Were you watching for God this week? Did you see His handiwork? Whether it was in creation, whether it was the big things like the meteor shower that's going on this weekend, or little tiny details. Were you watchful? Did you see God at work in other people's lives? Did you see God at work in your own life in the way that you responded or you responded differently to various situations? Did you give thanks? Be thankful to the Lord this week for the things that He's done, the things that He's working in your life. You see, this thing we call Christianity means that our lives are shaped by, that we are immersed in the Lord, that we're aware of His presence, that we listen to Him and we walk in step with Him, not just on a Sunday morning as we gather to worship, but in all the details of our lives. We're to be intentional about being the type of people that God is creating us to be, shaping us to be. And that happens, as He says right here, devote yourself to prayer, to being watchful and being thankful. Paul goes on in verse 3 to say, and pray for us too. He's telling the believers in the church and church or churches in Colossae how he wants them to pray for him. And he says, pray that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. You see, Paul's in prison. And even as he's in prison, he's asking that he would be able to declare the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ, the fully alive to those around him. Pray for an open door, he says. Pray for opportunities to proclaim this message of Christ. He calls it a mystery, partially because people weren't getting it. They weren't understanding this new thing, this eternal thing that God had done in the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. Paul's already talked about that mystery, and we've already looked at it a little bit. Colossians chapter 1, I become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is Christ fully alive in you. And that's our hope. Then Colossians 2, Paul says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so they may have the full riches, a complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, we miss it. We often miss this mystery. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in whom is hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We can experience that. We can know that if our eyes are open to it, if our spirits are open to it, if we're listening, if we're understanding what the Spirit is saying. You see, Jesus is our hope. Not anything or anyone else. That doesn't make much sense in our world. We live in a world where we think people have all the answers and all the reasons for why stuff happens. But stuff happens in our world, doesn't it? And it's not always pleasant stuff. Unpleasant stuff happens. But God never promised us that everything would be perfect in this world. He created this world good, but we messed it up big time. We didn't do what He asked us to do. We didn't care for the environment. We didn't care for the poor. We don't care for the refugees. He gave permission. And we, in many senses, invited demonic forces to come and mess with us. We made bad decisions. We did stupid things. And then we blame God why things don't work out the way that we think they should. Paul says, the mystery is this. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And when we don't get that, when we don't grasp that, when we fail to realize that Christ is in us, when we fail to realize that He is our hope, our only hope, we end up trying to find hope and meaning in a whole bunch of other stuff. Whether it's chasing the political right or the political left, we make that the end all and the be all. Or sometimes it's we pour ourselves into sports and activities, and we pour ourselves into a ton of stuff, or into our pets or our families. And there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong. In fact, there's a lot that's good with being politically aware and active. There's a lot of good in exercising and looking after our bodies and caring for our bodies. There's nothing wrong with pets if you can afford them. You know, I get frustrated when I get people coming into the church who are just a little bit above street level, and they want food vouchers so they can buy their pet food, and they can't afford to care for themselves. Family's great. I love family. We had our youngest son and his wife and our granddaughter up for part of this weekend. But sometimes we make family into the end all and the be all. Whereas God's word says He places the lonely in families. And part of what that means is we who have had families have to have open-ended families that enable us to welcome others into our network, into our connections. Paul says the mystery is Christ in you. The English language is terrible because I can say the word you and you don't know whether I'm talking about you individually or you plural. Well, here in this phrase, it's you plural. The mystery of Christ is in you, in us. And it gets demonstrated and lived up in community, in relationship, in the way that we interact with one another. And we often tend to personalize and privatize faith. And those of us who are introverts love to do that. And we keep everything nice and tight. But no, it's not that at all. It's always being stretched and always being broadened. Faith is personal, yes. But personal is not the same as private. We're never intended to do this thing called life alone. We really do need each other. We really do need each other. And so Paul prays for the believers in Colossae. And he says, pray, in verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it, talking about the gospel, talking about the mystery of Christ, proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul's saying, I want to proclaim Jesus. I want to proclaim the gospel. I want to proclaim the good news. I want to proclaim this mystery of who we are in Christ, this mystery of new community, of new relationship, as clearly as possible. Pray that will happen. This November, OCC is taking over Ethiopia. Up there, I don't know whether this will work or not, up there, that top green circle up near Bardar. For the first couple of weeks of November, Jeremy Clark is going to be up there working with a ministry called Hidden Abilities, children with physical disabilities. And he's going there. He's been there before and working with them, doing some training of leaders there. At the same time, I'm going to be at a Bible college in Bardar with Adam, who is another pastor within the Vision Ministry Network from over at Flesherton. And we're going to be teaching young new students who want to become pastors for a couple of weeks. Adam's teaching on the book of Isaiah. I'm teaching from the book of Acts. And so we want to do that. Later on, I'm going to be down in that area, roughly working with the Afar leaders. And so Gareth invited me to come and to be involved in a number of training sessions with Afar leaders, and as well going out into some of the communities around there. Then this area here, just an hour and a half, 2 hours from Addis, I'll be doing some work with Highlander churches. Highlander Church, basically, this map doesn't show it, but basically through there is the top end of the Great Rift Valley. And so if you're on the one side of the Rift Valley, you're a Highlander. If you're down in the valley, you're a Lowlander. And historically speaking, Highlanders have not got along with Lowlanders and vice versa. Mostly because the people who live down here, the Afar, have had a reputation for a lot of violence and have... When conflict arose, they would kill people, and so understandably, Highlanders have been very hesitant about getting involved. A couple of years ago, when I was there, I had an opportunity to preach at a Highlander church, and as a result, since then they've started to have a regular prayer gathering to pray for the Afar. And so I get the privilege of going back and doing some more teaching and helping them stretch their imagination in terms of what God can do and how, in terms of how God can use them in that area. The town or the city that's in is a place called Awash, which had lots of power and lots of water, until this last year as the city has begun to expand. And I got an email back from Garrett as we've been communicating what we're going to be talking about and how we're going to do things. And he says, yeah, I was down in Awash. We had no power. We had no water. We had no internet. We had nothing for the last 2 weeks because the infrastructure is simply not there anymore. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. And then, can I say this, hon? In that same area, Janice has been invited to go and to lead part of a Northern Ministries retreat. So some of the ministry leaders from up in the north in the Bardar, Gondor, McKelly area will be coming down here for 4 or 5 days, and Janice has been invited to share in some of those sessions. And so OCC is taking over Ethiopia. And so pray for us. And pray that we may proclaim Christ. Pray that we may deal it free of Western baggage. Because, we often don't even realize the Western baggage that we bring. So pray that we'd be very much aware of that. Pray that all of us would be able to communicate clearly through language and cultural boundaries and barriers. That the name of Jesus would be exalted. And then in verse 5, Paul shifts gears a little bit. And he calls the church to live the good news. And he says, be wise. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, he says. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So sometimes we make a false distinction between living the Christian life and being able to share about Jesus. Paul says, no, it's not that. It's not an either or. It's a both and. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, but also know how to answer everyone. And Paul says it's so important that we be wise. Be wise in the way we respond to those who don't yet know Jesus. But at the same time, may we make the most of every opportunity. Not in an Amway-type sales approach. You ever get invited to somebody's house and you thought you're just coming for a gathering, and then they pull out this multi-level marketing scheme on you? Your trust level goes way, way down, and it takes a while to recover that. That's not making the most of every opportunity. In fact, we turn people off when we try to share the gospel in that sense. But Paul says in verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, always seasoned with salt. Those are rich, rich phrases, full of grace. seasoned with salt. You've probably seen this cartoon. Someone is wrong on the internet. Part of grace means you don't have to correct everyone. Part of grace means you don't have to defend yourself or defend your position all the time. You don't always have to prove that you are right. Grace means that we're gentle with people. Grace means that we're kind. And Paul's not talking just about other believers. He's talking about everybody. And specifically, he says, with unbelievers. Because if you and I aren't living and offering grace in the way we treat and respond to everyone, we're not making the most of every opportunity. So in our conversations, whether it's here in the lobby at OCC and in line at a store, at the coffee shop, when we're online, if we need to be full of grace, seasoned with salt. So we display the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, if we're constantly dumping on people, if we're complaining, if we're all about self-protectionism and we have to do it right, then are we really full of grace and seasoned with salt? You know, seasoned with salt, just a little bit, not enough to kill everything and dump the back up the truck and just dump it all over everybody, but to share it gently. I used to. A number of churches I've pastored ran an Alpha program, which is designed for people who are seeking, who are asking questions, who want to know more about God. And in this one church, there were a number of people, believers, mature believers, who wanted to attend Alpha. And normally it's good to have a few strong believers and good believers in the group. But I wouldn't let these number of people attend Alpha. Because they were answer people. Anybody asked them a question, they had an answer, just like that. But that's not necessarily what Paul means when he says make the most of every opportunity so you may know how to answer everyone. You see, sometimes the best answer is to help people wrestle with the truth. Help them to understand what the important questions are. And when we give answers, especially when we give answers before people are really ready to hear, they can come across as being glib. As being insignificant, as being simplistic. And so in this one Alpha course, it was first or second session, this one guy asked a really good question. And so we acknowledged, yeah, that's a good question, that's an important question, but we're not going to answer that tonight. And we told him right up front what we were doing. And you know, we were going to get to that question about the sixth or seventh session, but by the fifth, he came to me and he said, you know that question I asked? Here's what I figured out. Because he'd been reading scripture. He'd been praying. He'd been talking to other people in his group. He knew the answer to his question. You know, he owned it. And that was far, far better than any of us giving him the most biblical answer possible. Because he owned it. Because he had to wrestle with those things. He had to wrestle with what God's word said. That's part of what it means to know how to answer everyone, to know the timing, to know what's needed in that particular time, to know the mystery of Christ. You see, if we don't understand something of the love, if we don't understand something of the grace, if we don't understand something of the heart of Jesus, if we don't understand something of the Father's love, if we don't understand something of what it means to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, if we don't understand something of God's call for us to share this mystery, we're missing out. And it's more than missing out. I'm not sure we really understand the gospel ourselves. The mystery of Christ. Hope of Christ in us. Let me drop down a few verses. Paul highlights his guy Epaphras, verse 12. He says, Epaphras is one of you, and he's a servant of Christ Jesus, and he sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all of the will of God, mature and fully assured. You know, it's really powerful when you know people are praying for you. And you can sense that, and God's Spirit comes alongside and confirms that people are praying for you. And I know in previous times when I've gone overseas, and I know many of you have been praying on a very regular basis. And so it's just so powerful. Sometimes we make it really lame. You know, God bless so-and-so. I'll pray for you. And then you see them the next week walking to church. Oh, Lord, bless them. You know, because you haven't thought about them at all week. But that's not what Epaphras is doing. He's wrestling in prayer for them. It's a slightly different analogy, but it's like Moses in Exodus chapter 17. Joshua is fighting the Amalekites, as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of this hill. And it says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and they put it under him and he sat there. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. That's the type of intensity, the type of commitment, the type of wrestling with prayer that Epaphras has for these believers in Colossae. He wrestles with them in prayer that they might stand firm in all of the will of God, mature and fully assured. They know who they are. They know the mystery of Christ fully alive in them. So how do you pray that type of prayer? What's that look like? Well, fortunately, Paul's already modeled that for us. He's already told us that. It's in the first part of Colossians. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. And Paul begins to pray for the believers there. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that's come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. He says, you learned it from Epaphras. This is the guy who's praying for them in chapter 4, verse 12. Our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. That sounds, you know, a whole lot like what Paul has been saying in chapter 2 and chapter 3 about knowing the mystery of God. And we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You don't know how to pray for others?
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.